Start seeking the Lord about what he would have me to speak on for a few minutes today. And I kept, the word promises kept coming up. So I'm going to talk to you today about promises. How many of you like promises? How many of you like promises that are kept? We're going to talk about that a little bit. Our text comes from Psalm 121 in its entirety. It's only it's actually 8 verses. Psalm 121. This is a popular psalm that I have read countless times. I don't want to be a downer, but I've read this psalm countless times at memorial services because of some of the things that are said in this psalm that bring great hope. Okay? Psalm 121, beginning to read in verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we just pray for the next 25 minutes or so, Lord, that you would just watch over your word to perform it as we read and talk about your word, Lord God. We just pray that we will be enlightened, and that, Lord, as we think about promises, that, Lord, we would think about you, because, Lord, you keep your promises. And Lord, help us to be that kind of a person, that we don't just make promises, but we keep them. So Lord, hide me behind the cross of Calvary as I bring this message. Pray that, Lord, you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words you've ordained for this morning. Not a word more or a word less. And all to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Lord promises he'll watch over our life. We see it in this psalm, and the 8th verse is the one that we really focus on when I've used this in a memorial service. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. In my mind, we talk about our coming and our going. He's watching over us. He's with us when we are knit together in the womb, according to the Word of God. So he's there in the beginning, and he's there when we are birthed into this world. And he's there all that whole time in between, and he's there at the time of our going back out of this world. He promises that. But we tend to, especially when times are hard, we tend to forget about that. Is it not true? When too many things start happening, things that we deem to be really lousy, and it just continues and continues and continues, after a while we have a tendency to forget that God is always there. He promised to be with us in our coming and our going forevermore and everything in between. We forget that. And so then we become distraught. We begin to worry. We begin to plot. We begin to complain. Isn't that true? Forgetting about the promises of God, that when we keep our eyes on God and his promises, then we are lifted up. When we begin to complain, our mouth speaks the complaint, and we've got two ears that hear it. So not only when we become a complainer do we affect the people around us And eventually people will start to avoid us if all we do is complain. I know I do. If a person always complains, I've talked about it, man. This is a no-joy sucker zone right here. Not that I'm willing to walk through anything with people, because I am. Please understand what I'm saying. But a person that is habitually a complainer, I'm like, well, I don't want to expose myself to that. I myself am trying to stay on top and not underneath. Amen? Isn't it interesting that in our culture, if we're asked how we're doing, we might say something like this. Well, pretty good considering the circumstances I'm under. Key word being under. As believers, we should never be under our circumstances. We should be above them because we are in Christ. So our mentality needs change. We need to focus on the promises of God. And this one is a big one in my mind. He is always there. He makes it abundantly clear. So that whets our appetites to thinking about God's promises. But what about our promises? Nothing can remove the joy on the face of a daughter, for example, whose father changes his schedule and promises to attend her first sporting event. You could say son as well. But if he should forget after making that promise, no amount of explanation will erase her scar. No amount of it. Because when we make a promise, we're supposed to do everything we can to keep that promise. A pattern of kept promises creates trust and brings joy. But a pattern of broken promises eventually brings distrust and resentment. If we're a parent that makes promises and doesn't keep them over and over and over, then our children begin to distrust us because our words don't hold weight. It's sad that the integrity once gained in promise making seems to be gone. We don't expect a politician to follow through on campaign promises, for example. And the vow, till death do us part, is easily broken only to exchange the same vows with one or several more people in our lifetime in this nation. Isn't that true? So, a promise maker is nothing special. But a promise keeper is very special, and also very rare indeed. We need to ask ourselves, am I a promise maker or am I a promise keeper? And if more often than not I'm merely a promise maker, then through the promises of God, through His power working in us, then we need to be better at being a promise keeper. Jesus is the source of true joy because He is the fulfillment of God's promise. The promise became flesh and blood when the Father sent His Son into the world as Emmanuel, which means God with us. Before He ascended to rule the earth from heaven, Jesus kept His promise by sending the Holy Spirit to indwell our very being. If you are a born-again believer today, right now, the fact that you are born again means that you have been born again with the Spirit of the living God. And that means it's the promise of the Father. It's the promise that He was not going to leave us here like vagabonds, but He was going to give us the promise from the Father, the Holy Spirit, to indwell us, to empower us, to counsel us, and to carry us through when our flesh is weak. Our flesh is weak, right? But God's Spirit is strong. And when God's Spirit wells up within us, we can overcome anything. We are overcomers in Christ. But we forget. We forget about the promises of God. We haphazardly then also make promises to people that we go off and completely forget about. Can I admit something for you? It doesn't happen often, but there have been times where I've run into people and they shared with me what they were going through, and I said, I'll make that a matter of prayer. And then I go off and get busy with something, didn't write it down, forget about it, run into the person later, and they're joyous and saying, thank you so much for praying for me. I got my victory. And my stomach sinks and goes, do I tell them? Do I tell them I forgot? What will they think of me if I do? You and I, we need to really think about the promises we make. How many of us, if we'd really be honest, have made a lot of promises to God? You know, those ones, oh Lord, if you'll get me out of this mess, oh, I'll do this and I'll do this. I'll do this for you. And we come out the other side of what we've been going through. Maybe it was a sickness. Maybe it was a financial problem. Maybe we've gotten ourselves in trouble. But whatever it was, then we come out the other side of it and we forget all about the promises that we made to our God. Arv asked me today, are you going to jump on somebody's toes today? I said, well, I'm not going to try to. But maybe dancing around this stuff, I am stepping on somebody's toes a little bit. Only because we need woke up. See, it's way past time that we quit going to church and we become the church. Are we the church? Are we the bride of Christ? Can I be real? It bothers me when we put it in the bulletin for weeks, an area in the church that we need someone to serve. And week after week goes by and nobody steps up to serve. Are we going to church or are we the church? Because if we are the church, then we all serve in the church because God called us to do that so that the church would be lacking nothing. Am I making sense to somebody today? I'm just trying to be what God called me to do. I'm trying to be a shepherd here. I'm trying to challenge some people. Not trying to heap a heavy yoke on anybody, okay? Just trying to wake people up to the fact that it's not just about going to church, it's really about being the church. Yes. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 27. I got to go fast because I only got 10 minutes left from where I was going to quit. Even my shortened version of a message is getting too long. How's that happen? They grow! While I'm standing up here preaching, those messages just grow. So, see, it's the message's fault. It's not me being long-winded. John 14, beginning to read in verse 15. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. No matter what is going on in this world, no matter what is going on in this nation, no matter what is going on anywhere, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Why? Because he promised that he's there in the beginning, he's there in the end, and he is there all the way in between. He's still there, no matter what we walk through. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, for Jesus said, "I have overcome it all." Already done. He already took over. Verse 16, it said, but I want to cover some promises very quickly. "I will ask the Father," Jesus said, "and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." That's the Holy Ghost. What I was just talking about in the opening of this message. That's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a counselor and a guide. And how many times we squelch that still small voice in here because our flesh cries out and it's crying louder. Isn't that true? I'll just preach to myself. You guys come along when you can. He said in verse 18, "I'll not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you." If Jesus be for us, who can be against us? Right. And that doesn't mean the trials we go through are easy. It's not what I'm saying at all. But we have got to keep Jesus in the forefront, because when he is in the forefront, that means our trials and troubles are behind him, and they fade into the distance and they look smaller. The things that are closest to you are the things that look the biggest. That's why a photographer, when they take a family picture, will tell you, sit up straight, turn your knees sideways, and put your feet right under you. Because if you're lounging back and got your feet sticking out toward the camera, your feet look this big, and you look like you're moved in the back of the picture. Am I telling the truth? How many photographers here? It's the same way. If we've got Jesus in the forefront, he looks massive, which he is. And our troubles and our trials are behind and looking small. But we go through life and we forget it. We get too self-dependent, self-sufficient, especially if we're sitting pretty good financially and feel like, I've got everything I need. What more could I want? People too often have a tendency to not need God. It's why David said, Lord, give me enough so that I won't steal. So that I won't be compelled to steal. But don't give me so much that I'll wander from you. That is one of the most spiritual, real prayers of all of them in the Word of God in my mind. At least it really speaks to me. That's spoken from a man that's got a heart after God. It's why I think God said that David was the apple of his eye, because he would do everything he asked him to do. Another promise is in verse 21. He says, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Do you expect God to reveal himself to you? Do you expect Jesus to reveal himself to you? We should. Because he promises he will if we love him and seek after him. In Matthew, where it's talking about people worrying. Worry. He said, don't worry. Tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. Don't worry about what you'll eat. My Father knows everything you need, right? My Father will love him and come to him and make our home with him. In verse 23. Verse 27, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. But see, we only realize that peace when we are in that right relationship with Jesus. Do you start out your day with God? If you're not, you're setting yourself up to be worried before 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm just telling you right now, that cup of coffee, that cup of latte, will not take the worry away from you. Seek Jesus before you even reach for that cup of coffee. Seek Jesus when you open your eyes, before your feet even hit the floor. Say, good morning, Lord. What are we going to do together today? And he promises he will reveal himself to you. Why? Because he loves us. And he calls us to love him. The clock. Pull the battery out of the clock. I'm kidding, of course. We see some writing about our future hope in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That is some kind of promise of a future hope for those born again believers that are in a real relationship, an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. Doesn't that sound fabulous? Count me in. I'm into that. Promises. No more death. There will be no more death in the New Jerusalem. There will be no more mourning. There will be no more crying or pain. No more pain. You don't know this, but I've been fighting for days a really bad toothache. You know what I'm talking about? The one that goes into your jaw where it hinges, so every time you move your mouth, it hurts, and up into your ear, so every time you swallow, you got pain, up into your cheekbone, so even every time you blink, it feels like somebody's thumping you with a board. Somebody know what I'm talking about? I'm living that right now. But by God, the devil's not going to win. I'm bringing this message.
Amen.
So I prayed and loaded myself up on some Advil. God's promises are yea and amen. Proverbs 29, verse 2. Says, when the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. There have been a lot of groaning. That's just real. Okay? But even though we groan as believers, when we are under the oppression that we are, we still have hope in Christ. If you haven't noticed, what God has put on my heart for this abbreviated message today is to build you up. Guys, we win. I read the end book.
That's right.
Isn't it good to know that there is one God who is true to his word? Our God is not a politician that'll tell you what they think you want to hear just to get elected. Our God is our creator. He's our healer. He's our redeemer. He's our deliverer. He's our all in all. He's the great God I am. Fill in the blank. He's everything. When everything and everyone else fails us, God is faithful and true. He never forgets us. I shared with you that, I'm just being real, that there have been times when I forgot when I made a promise to someone. Felt terrible about it. But I'm just being real. I'm human. So are you. So when everyone else fails us, God don't ever forget. He don't ever forget you and me. He don't ever forget anybody. Hebrews 13, verse 5, he says, Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. When we seek after God, he promises that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. Are you seeking after God? Because if you're seeking after God, then His promises apply. And He is faithful. Are you ready to get on with God? Let's be promise keepers instead of just promise makers. And let's seek after with all our heart the God that is the fulfillment of all His promises. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together. I went 5 minutes longer than I wanted to. That's okay, right? Father, I just bless Your people. I pray, Lord, that as we leave this place and go across the river to fellowship and break bread together, I just pray, Lord, that this word would stick in our hearts and that, Lord, we would be changed, that we would be faithful, that we would be promise keepers, Lord God, and that we would keep our eyes on You as our promise keeper. We glorify You, Lord. Keep us safe as we migrate across the river. We just praise You for who You are, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.